Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Only a podcast.
For antiques.
For antiques.
What antiques are we talking about today?
We're actually talking about some antiques peoples.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some personalities in the antiques world.
Are there really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's one or two. Two? Funny I should mention that, Dee. We're talking about the Kino twins.
Oh?
Yeah, you might actually recognize them from, I was going to say Hollywood Squares is the first thing that came to mind. Antiques Roadshow, for the love of.
One of these shows is antiques related.
Yeah, it was the antiques one that they were on. Actually, they've been on every season of Antiques Roadshow since it began.
Really?
Yeah, which is why, so you might know them. They got up to some shenanigans in the last 5 years.
Did they really?
Yeah, we're going to, first of all, let's look at who they are.
Okay.
Because it really sets the stage for how weird this will get. They are a pair of identical twins from upstate New York, described in an incredibly rude Slate article as tall, blonde, engagingly hyperactive wasps.
Engagingly hyperactive wasps?
Yeah.
Like the kind that kill tarantulas?
If only. Tall, except from upstate New York. Both their parents were antiques dealers. The younger brother is an antiques dealer. Their mom used to pull them out of school on Fridays to go to antiques shows.
They were had our dream childhood, is what you're saying.
So they had our dream childhood, except that, imagine if our dream childhood was also unbearably bougie. Because they claim that they were making, $200 to $300 a week by fourth grade as these little antiques ingenues. And they expected me to think that that was, that they were buying the antiques with their pocket money, I guess.
With the money they earned in the factory?
I'm just wondering if they think I'm stupid.
Yeah, do they think we don't realize that their allowance came from their parents, and that the initial investment was in fact their parents' money, and if their parents had not had the money in the first place, they would not be making any money per week?
Exactly!
Not that I'm bitter.
They also weirdly refer to it in, biopics they do, with brief, interviews. They call it a hobby. They use the word hobby a lot for a pair of people whose entire career has been antiques.
I feel like they're making a distinction between career as something you need to do every day to support your living versus hobby, which is something you do that makes money, but you already have a trust fund, so you don't really have to make money.
Oh, so you think that's a tell that they're rich, but they don't realize that it's coming out that way?
Yeah, that's my theory.
They did also briefly set a world record at 14. In American stoneware by buying a $3,500 American stoneware salt glaze jug.
Oh, so not just an industry of stoneware by Americans, but a company called American Stoneware that is collectible?
They bought a jug.
Okay.
Yeah, a collectible American stoneware salt glaze jug. They purchased one for an astronomically high price and set a world record for kids who had the most rich parents.
I guess.
I've struggled. I tried to look it up. I couldn't figure out on what merits it was awarded a world record. I guess other than just, it was an incredibly expensive jug and it happened to be purchased by two very pampered 14-year-olds. So really, it's the jug that got the world record. They went to two different colleges, which I found odd, given the rest of their life, how that trajectory was going to go. And there was one weird story where Lee, who was going to continually be a problem, he, found an abandoned class monument from the 19th century in a field, and then just sort of put it back up in the college.
Okay, that I can get on board with. That's a good time.
That's relatable.
That's a solid prank.
Leslie worked at Sotheby's, and continues to work at Sotheby's, I believe. And Lee worked at Christie's, which I also found deeply scandalous.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh my god.
A house divided.
Eventually, Lee left Christie's to start his own business in 1986.
Ah.
Well, his own business, which ended up being, four separate businesses, because, hey. They co-own a 1938 SS-100 Jaguar.
So, they co-own a Jaguar.
Do you want to guess who they got the Jaguar from?
Did they get it from their daddy?
They literally, they bought it from their daddy. You can't see this at home, I put
with the money they earned, with the money daddy gave them through their allowance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so daddy gave them a Jaguar.
Daddy gave them a 1938 SS-100 Jaguar.
Oh, so daddy gave them a Jaguar.
Yeah, a Jaguar. And they do race it, so, yay.
Not that you're bitter.
Their older, I'm sorry, I said their younger brother. He was their older brother. He's also been on Antiques Roadshow. I wonder if he feels weird about that, being like, because he's never like with them, but they're always with each other.
He can sense them. He knows they're there, it's like, orbiting.
It's just like, and here's the other Kino brother.
A twin star system swirling away through the Antiques Roadshow.
It's like being that, like, that one Jonas brother that was never in the band. You always wonder what that must have been like growing up. Like, he's definitely a brother of the Jonas varietal, but he didn't do anything.
Oh, man.
They both specialize in early American furniture.
The Shakers, the Quakers, the Candlestick Makers?
Yeah. Their grail pieces are furniture made by Newport cabinet-making families, the Goddards, and the Townsends. Because of course.
Now, you're going to have to define grail piece for the audience who hasn't worked in the industry for 15 years.
Oh, it's just like a highly specific category of things that you must have. It's like the Holy Grail of what you want to collect.
Okay.
And most people who have a specific interest have one. You know, for me, it's coffin-shaped poison bottles are my grail pieces. For furniture people, it tends to be specific makers. And for these two, it's, you know...
Goddard of Newport?
17th century Goddards from Newport.
So Newport before they put the mansions up.
Yeah, well before Gilded Age. This is a side note. They have a joint Wikipedia article, which seems, like, rude. So they are two different men. Is the career, they were on every season of Antiques Roadshow. They had their own WGBH show called Find! With an exclamation point.
Does it have to be yelled?
Yes, it's got an exclamation point.
Okay.
They had their own internet show called Collect This with the Kino brothers. It also has an exclamation
point. Why are they always yelling?
if you recall, they are charmingly hyperactive.
Oh, that would do it.
That comes up a lot, actually, when you're reading about them.
Their desperate need for, like, some fucking Adderall?
Yeah, like, it gets mentioned so often that it does read as a medical problem. They co-authored a book on antique furniture, which I did find out they received a grant of $1 million for. So just, like, not much. not, like, a lot. I believe Lee was awarded the National Humanities Medal in 2005 for God knows what. I went to the page of the National Humanities Endowment to find out what, and it didn't say. On what merits it had been awarded. It just had a brief biography. As if to suggest he was just the goodest boy.
The bestest boy.
But he is not.
What?
A Belgian shepherd, so he does not get goodest boy.
Okay.
That only belongs to puppies. In addition to his personal business, Lee founded the Kino Auctions and the Kino Art Advisory, both of which he owns alongside his brother, Leslie. Those are the most, I know that they're not from Connecticut, but upstate New York is like Connecticut's identical twin. And those are just like the most upstate New, it's Lee and Leslie, like.
Yeah, Lee and Leslie.
Oh my god. If they'd been born in like the last 10 years, they'd be Aidens. They'd both be Aiden with different spellings. In 2011, they created a lifestyle brand called Kino Brothers, and I don't know what a lifestyle brand is.
I think it's a bit like Chippendales, where, like, they do your whole house.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Because all I could find is references to furniture.
Yeah.
And I kept reading clean lines and contemporary furniture, which is weird.
Yeah, because, like, isn't IKEA already doing that?
Well, IKEA is already doing that, and these dudes' whole laurels are their interest in antiques.
But in, like, Shaker furniture... which is very much clean lines.
It's clean lines, but it's not contemporary.
No.
Like, they use the word contemporary specifically, which is just like, what? Okay. Your upstate New York is showing. They hosted a reality TV show called Buried Treasure, where they go to poor people's houses and save them from financial ruin by finding antiques.
Couldn't they just do that with their millions of dollars?
They could have, yes, but they wanted to bootstrap it. In 2014, Lee served on the board of directors of the Appraisers Association of America, considered the highest honor that the Appraisers Association of America has. 2014, the two also started a private equity fund called the Historic Motor Car Investment Fund, which I found out is just a really complex way of saying we're writing off buying classic cars as a business expense. It's about 5 sentences of explanation, and it all boils down to, now I can write these off as taxes. Like, they just buy incredibly expensive cars and then either keep or resell them. And that's a business. I mean, it is. I guess buying and selling is by definition a business. It's just...
Yeah, but...
And you know, do you want to guess what kind of cars they collect? Other than, like, the best... Which classics?
The Jags.
Oh, better than the Jags.
Model Ts?
No, that's actually, like, not on their list.
Interesting.
Alfa Romeo.
I don't know what that is.
Alfa Romeo.
Okay.
It's and the Aston Martin, famously the James Bond car.
Oh.
And Ferraris, you know those. And Lamborghinis up in the Hollywood Hills. Which you can only acquire if you have knowledge.
Fucking Lamborghinis.
So all of that setup is just to set the stage for how weird this is about to get. Starts in 2015, when Lee Kino is booked for a DUI, driving drunk with his son in the car.
Oh. Oh my god.
Parts of this are actually just gonna be clips of the criminal report, because it's the funniest goddamn thing I've ever read.
Oh no.
Shortly before 11:30 p.m. on December 29th, just after Christmas, state police received a 911 call that a silver Range Rover, of course, was swerving all over the road southbound on Interstate 95. Police said when they got to the scene, they saw the Range Rover cross from the center to the right lane 3 times, and then slow down and speed up rapidly for no apparent reason. They pulled him over, and as the trooper reached the driver's side, Kino accidentally hit the windshield washer and sprayed the officer with windshield washer fluid.
Accidentally.
He continued to... So they said, sir, have you been drinking tonight? And he said, well, I went out for pizza with my son and I had a Coors Light. And they said, sir, I'm sorry? And he said, yeah, just a Coors Light. And then he called his twin brother, had a secret conversation, hung up and said, maybe it was two Coors Lights.
Wait. So he had to call his twin brother to confirm how many drinks he'd had before he got into the car with his son.
Well, it was for legal advice. He was just like, what should I do? I'm drunk and this cop is here.
So his twin brother's legal advice was up the number of Coors Lights by one.
Do you want to know what happened after?
Oh, you know I want to know what happened.
So he refuses a breathalyzer twice. They have to book him for refusal. So they take him down to the station. He calls his lawyer, refuses a breathalyzer a final time, and then admits... Maybe it was three Coors Lights.
What are they putting in those Coors Lights?
You pull this guy over in a Range Rover and he squirts you with windshield fluid. And he's clearly dripping with money as much as booze sweat. And he's telling you flat out that he drank one Coors Light and that's why he's driving into the oncoming lane. He also claimed later that it was the Coors Light and some medication he took because he was a little too hyper. Which I can't tell if that means that they are medicated for this hyperactivity or if he just popped some downers. Like the non-prescription kind.
That's the thing, because like if you have a prescription, it says right on the bottle, don't fucking drink with this shit.
Especially not one, two, or perhaps even three Coors Lights.
Before hopping behind the wheel of your Range Rover with your son in the car.
Everyone is always like, well, his son was 17 at the time. Like okay. He can't die at 17.
Yeah, I know. As we all know, 17-year-olds are immortal and immune to force impact damage.
It's okay to kill a 17-year-old as long as it's not a toddler, I guess.
Jesus, fuck.
So that was, that ended, he, you know, and he bought his way out of that. I think he was just remanded. He was remanded to, DUI education.
Uh-huh.
He was charged.
Well, like, we learned how to count Coors Lights?
It was a one-day class.
Oh.
He was charged formally for, like, an active DUI.
Yeah.
And then they said, just go to this Saturday class where they just go down. Now you gotta keep track of those Coors Lights a little better, buddy. So that's cool. But the real spice comes up in 2016. The brothers attended a bunch of 4 auctions total. Mm-hmm. 2 we have very little information about because the auction houses wouldn't talk about it. Legal reasons, I'm sure. One auction was in the New Orleans Auction Gallery where the brothers began a bidding war with each other.
Wait. Hang on. So you're in the crowd at this auction. You see a guy raise his hand and bid. Then you see the same guy on the other side of the room raise his hand and bid against himself. And this just goes on?
And this, not only does this go on, This went on to the point where the New Orleans Auction Gallery filed a suit against them for fraudulent auction conduct and saying that they were unfairly driving up the price of items.
You're not allowed to be two dudes!
You can't be two men. But they also admitted later that they were driving up the price of the items to no apparent end, as they were the ones who ended up buying the items.
I'm gonna blame the hyperactivity.
So there was a Turkish Angora rug that was valued at $800. There was a 50-point bidding war. 50 times they outbid each other. And Leslie ended up buying it for $14,000.
Is this just like an intense twin rivalry?
Spoiler warning, there's no answer at the end of this. They did this 3 times in excess and I believe 244 times total. Again, they did an Italian painting, estimated at $400. Lee bought it for $7,250. A Louis the 16th bed, estimated at $300. God, I wish I could have been at that auction. That's a good price.
Yeah.
Lee bought it for $1,600. They just kept doing this until they had purchased 244 items to the tune of a total bill of $400,000.
Of daddy's money.
That they didn't pay.
Hang on. They clearly didn't listen to our auctions episode, because one of the things about auctions is that it's very important that you pay.
It's really, really critical that you give them the money.
It's a key part of the process, is paying.
What's more to keep in mind is at no point in the whole history of where this goes did they ever assume possession of the items. Ever.
So, okay. They're going to auctions, they're bidding against each other to astronomical prices, then not paying and just walking away from the item?
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing?
They do this at 4 different auction houses.
What the fuck are they doing?
At Camilla Auctions in Philadelphia, they bought 89 items to the tune of $200,000 that they also didn't pay. Again, the same story, they were bidding against each other frantically.
Are they getting off on this? Like, what is happening? It's
such a good question.
Is this like the upstate New York version of an arsonist? Like, what is going on?
Because it's very clear they didn't even want it.
No!
So they're not even like mad at each other. And
they've just got a very peculiar blend of auction fever.
That's not even what they went with. To make this stew even weirder, they registered at all these auctions as partners. Meaning they weren't even supposed to be bidding against each other.
Okay.
As far as the auction houses were concerned, they were a single entity.
So they went in as a single unit.
Split.
Split for the auction, then came back together as a single unit, said, actually, we won't want that, and then left.
They didn't even say that. So they just sort of, like, disappeared into the night.
So they entered as a single unit, split, and then vanished?
Yes. Eventually...
Are we sure they're not Batman villains?
I'm not certain they're not. One of the auction houses contacted them, and they claimed in an email that it was a, quote, silly mix-up, because they were both confused.
Yeah, dog, I'd say you're confused.
This isn't going to get any clearer. I know that I keep saying that, but it's only going to get worse. Leslie claimed in the email, quote, this was a situation where my brother thought I was bidding on the lot, and I thought he was bidding on it. You might notice that this explains nothing, and in fact only confuses further what was happening.
Yeah, you thought your brother was bidding on the lot, and he thought you were bidding on the lot, because you were in fact both bidding on the lot.
Because it's precisely what you had done, yes.
Against each other. So yeah, I can see where you might have gotten that idea from.
Well, it's just, we were confused. We thought we were both fighting each other for the item. Like, yeah, could you pay for it? He also wanted to say, quote, we made a mistake, and I would hope that given the amount of property we purchased, you would forgive us for this mistake.
I mean, I feel like they get more forgiveness if they actually paid for any of the property they purchased.
The cycling back is that he says this when the original contact was about paying for the items. So that's a crazy thing to say.
Do they ever say any things that aren't crazy?
I'm just wondering if he was just like, he'd had like maybe 1 or 2 Coors Lights when he responded. The auction house's lawyer even went on to call the entire process mystifying.
a farce?
She was so lost, and at no point could they extract a pure story as to why this had happened on any front.
The eternal mystery.
Could you imagine being that lawyer? Be like, sir, you have to pay for this. No, I don't have to, because the thing is my brother and I got confused. We thought we were bidding against each other. And you're just like, what? Like, you have to forgive us because we spent a lot of money. Like,
no, you didn't. You exchanged no money.
What? All you did was fucking inconvenience us to the tune of $600,000.
Oh my God.
They quoted in a request for an interview from the New York Times saying, quote, as specialists in our business, we seek hidden treasures, and as researchers, we search for unique provenance of every object. Which you may notice has nothing to do with anything.
No, that has nothing to do with the issue at hand, which is you entered as a single unit, split into two units, fought each other, didn't pay, and bounced.
When explaining to another auction house how this had all come about, they finally coughed up this explanation. Quote, it was a temporary issue of liquidity. Unprecedented for us, but hardly unheard of in the auction business.
So what they're saying is they tied up daddy's money and other shit and couldn't pay, but went to the auction anyway and just had a wacky time?
Yeah, basically it translated to we didn't have the money, and also kind of leads back to the idea that these people are cash poor and equity rich.
Okay.
So they own a lot of very expensive cars that are worth money, but they don't have a lot of money that you can just pull out of a bank and use.
Trust fund.
But they do. Well, here's the thing, they absolutely do.
But this, okay. When I don't have money, I don't take my twin brother, go to an auction house, bid each other up on an item, agree to purchase it, and then walk away.
Bid an item up from hundreds to tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. When I don't have money, I just go down to the food stamps office.
Yeah.
Like, I do normal people things. That's not...
The auction house responded to hardly unheard of in the auction business with, we have literally never had an unpaid invoice of this size before.
I can believe it.
Which, yeah. Like, to say, yes, we did waste $400,000 that we don't intend to pay you, but this happens all the time. And the auction house had to be like, it wicked doesn't.
You guys are the only guys who do this.
Eventually, they did pay off $70,000 of the bill.
Okay.
They still didn't take the items.
Okay.
They settled with the Philadelphia house for an undisclosed amount because they got sick of waiting.
I can relate.
And at some point in the emails back and forth where they were trying to... I'm not even going to say they were trying to explain anything. I think they were having a manic episode on the internet at these poor people. At some point, they just emailed the auction house in New Orleans saying, we are going to sell, quote, literally a national treasure of our own. Not that anyone asked.
Oh my God, they're going to sell Nicolas Cage.
That would be, listen, I'd forgive them everything. Lee was, in my favorite quote of this whole story, quoted as saying, I have never paid a bill late, nor do I believe has my brother. He wrote this to the auction house, that they had only paid off $70,000 of a $400,000 debt. The day that we receive the funds in our account, payment will be made to you in full, and I assume that the postscript is, thank you, daddy.
How? Why can't they just walk into a bank and get a loan? Like normal people do.
Given the amount of equity they have, you'd think it would be very easy.
Yeah, like, of all the people who need to get approved for a loan, I can think of no two people who would get approved faster.
Yeah, just like, I have $7 million cars. And then they'd be like, yeah.
For
you,
sure?
You can have it, seems like you could pay me back. Can you imagine the gall of writing to someone you have refused to pay and say, I have never paid a bill late in the process of paying your bill late.
I think at this point it's been well established that they are not operating on the same plane of reality as the rest of us.
They're blinking to whatever planet the Red Lanterns are from and like forgetting how human customs work, I think. He said it to the auction house. He said to the people who said, you need to pay us, you're late. And he said, I have never paid a bill late. I assume because he's used to, like, saying things and having them be true through the force of how many million-dollar cars he owns.
What the fuck?
By February 2017, they had settled all their debts at all four auction houses, including the two that had chosen not to publicize any of it. And that is the end of the Kino Twins wacky story so far. They haven't done anything quite this weird yet.
So what do they do on Antiques Roadshow? Just, like, confirm that cars are old?
They actually do furniture mostly on Antiques Roadshow, okay. Despite their fixation on cars.
Do they seem normal?
No.
they can't even hold it together for Antiques Roadshow.
I don't want to get into outright slander.
Uh-huh.
They don't... They behave in, like, okay. They behave in a manner I would call, like, creepy pasta twin-like. They have this thing that they do all the time where if someone has a matching set of something, they will pick one up and decide which one of the identical items represents them. And this is like their running gag, and like, it's very funny to them, I guess, but I think it's like chilling to a lot of the rest of us.
I mean, it's pretty funny to me.
It is kind of funny. I mean, they're very charming. They're too charming for me, but I'm a cynic, and I'm always just sitting there with like my pipe that I never light, going on like, I just have to get my money. And they were like millionaires, which inherently makes me angry. So, you know.
You're just always ready for someone to grift you.
Yeah.
And these guys set off your grift alarm.
They set up my grift line so bad. They're going to go in my attic. They're going to take my priceless treasures. And, you know, if you want more, like, basically out and out slander, you can check out the Slate.com article called Antique Show Pornography from PBS.
Whoa, wait, sorry, what?
I'm gonna take a little time to slander Slate.com. They explain in the second paragraph of the article that they're calling it pornography because to them, rifling through people's goods is like the last privacy and is thus pornography. It's like, you titled it after this arduous fucking metaphor that you invented.
That also doesn't hold up, like, at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's arduous. It's arduous because it takes like 40 minutes to get to like what you were thinking you were coming up with.
Oh boy.
And also, you know what? They wrote turning over a punch bowl to look for a ceramicist's mark. And quite frankly, they can eat my ass for that. Have they never seen a punch bowl? I couldn't Google punch bowl and be like, oh, most of these are glass. Yeah, you see a lot of ceramic punch bowls? Wing nut. Makes me mad.
You should write them an angry letter.
I think I wrote them an angry podcast. So that's the whole story of the Kino Twins until they do something else wacky. Hopefully not involving one, maybe two, perhaps even three Coors Lights.
In the event that they do, we will keep you posted.
Yeah, this is now Kino Watch. Sources include NYTimes.com, because not getting an answer didn't stop them from writing an article. called Kino Brothers Sued by Two Auction Houses Say They Made a Mistake. Boy, howdy, is that ever true. NEH.gov. About/awards National Humanities Medals, Leslie Kino article. Guess what? You're not going to find out why you won it. Slate.com/culture, Antique Show Pornography from PBS. CTPost.com, DUI Arrest Sidelines Roadshow Celeb. And blogs.findlaw.com, legally_weird. Did Antiques Roadshow Brothers Kino Twins commit action fraud?
Yes.
Auction fraud. Yes, they did.
Action fraud.
Well, the argument was that they didn't because you can't commit auction fraud on yourself.
Now, twins are individuals.
But they were doing it at each other, so each one was doing it at himself.
Oh, okay.
The idea is that either of them was just driving up the price for them to buy. So they were like, I don't know if this actually constitutes fraud or not.
Oh, no. If you want to argue about what constitutes fraud, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks, and from there you can join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
If you want to commit auction fraud...
Wait, no.
You can email... don't do that.
Check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where we have a wide variety of vintage goods... and t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them, and someday, God willing, posters from Attack Bear Press. If you want posters up sooner than we will have them, you can go to Attack Bear Press directly.
And rest assured, it's not eBay. I cannot commit auction fraud on you.
If you would like to hear some deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you're there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
A tantalizing mystery.
Special shout out to our current patrons for helping to pay our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to a second microphone. And someday, releasing bonus episodes.
And keeping our liquidity in case we commit auction fraud.
Oh, dream big.
I want the Patreon to become so big I can buy things I have no intention of purchasing.
I feel like we could do that with a zero Patreon.
I gotta go to the auction.
And thank you for listening.
Especially you.
Goodbye.
Bye.